Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. I'm here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
And let's get right down to business.
Yep.
We had the results of our election and we did not win.
No, we did not win.
It was about a 60-40 split.
Yep.
60 votes, 60% of the votes for the incumbent, 40% for us. And it was pretty much held true down the line.
Yep.
And so so here we are. You know, this was another election that was marred with improprieties,
right?
Even with National overseeing it. Like, mm-hmm. I think we've already talked about how there was a person who was left off the ballot.
Yep.
And so that had to be corrected, and that was not very well corrected.
Right. And then the wording they used on the
On the corrected trustee ballot
says don't count the other ballot.
Yeah, it says like the other ballot will not be counted or something like that.
So
like
people didn't turn that one in.
Yeah, it was so poorly worded.
Four officers, yeah.
Now, so look, we did lose, right? The votes that were counted, I don't have any reason to believe that they were counted incorrectly. You know, it's very difficult to beat the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew what we were up against. You know, we may very well, like so many of the votes at our branch, we may very well have won the vote with working carriers.
But well, I told Alan, it's like climbing Mount Everest, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So if we win, it's got that whole exhilarating effect, but
right.
It is a huge mount that we're climbing.
Right, right, exactly. So yeah, even if the working carriers voted with us, the turnout was so low that the retirees are able to turn the election.
Right.
And the turnout was only 23%.
Yeah, so we have 1,967 members.
Something like that.
And 452 people voted.
There you go. So okay. Yeah, that was
and
pretty low
197
turnout.
Mail got returned.
Right. Yeah, there were a lot of return ballots
mm-hmm.
and like undeliverable ballots.
Right. There's basically 10%.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. About that.
And which is a problem because if this, let's say this is average nationwide.
Yeah,
so with 250,000 members, that's 25,000 votes that people are not voting because that's the return. That's a lot.
It is a lot of votes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have been an... Like, there's obviously an argument that can be made of there were so many issues with this election mm-hmm. that the election is fouled again. Mm-hmm. And that's an argument that Michael and I and our supporters are having, our team is mm-hmm. having amongst ourselves.
Right.
And we haven't settled yet on how we're going to proceed.
See, from here, yeah.
Yep. Yep. So at a minimum... You know, remember, we got disenfranchised mm-hmm. where we wanted to run for steward and
also,
were forbidden from doing so.
Right.
And so that's still going through the appeal. That appeal was read at the meeting.
At the meeting, yep.
The goodest oldest boy wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so it was read by another branch officer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. You know, no better or worse, really, than when the goodest oldest boy reads it.
Yeah, it's the other goodest oldest boy. 'Cause he was talking about he was...
He's the one who called us Beavis and
Butthead. 35 years or something. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, but anyway, so, you know, that now goes up to National. We'll get the mm-hmm. branch response to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much am interested to see what the branch response is to mm-hmm. our appeal. You know, remember, according to the goodest oldest boy, the branch response doesn't take one position or another, which, of course, we know that's a lie.
Right.
So yeah, we'll see. When we get that, I'll probably read it on Classes of Mail and let you guys play at home appeals committee and see what you guys think. And then we'll get our decision from the appeals committee.
Are they going to show us
they have to send me a copy of the branch reply.
Okay.
Yeah. It has to be sent to me when it all gets packaged up and sent
to
National.
Did they do that the last one?
No, because
that's
I was on the other side.
Our president who wrote it.
Yeah. Right, where he totally threw the branch under the bus.
Yeah, but
right.
You didn't get a copy of that.
Right, no, we didn't. No, because I was on the other side of that issue. Mm-hmm. I should have been the one writing the reply, and
right.
I would have had to send the reply
right.
to...
Which I'm glad I told you to do.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we did eventually get a copy of that. Dude, to go back, like, a while ago, I went and re-listened to the episode where I got the branch reply, and... That episode is fiery, dude. I was so pissed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's this guy saying, oh, I speak for the branch and I will write the branch's reply and then just totally undermine the branch's position.
Right.
It's so dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the 23% turnout tells the story.
Yes.
That people just aren't interested.
No.
And I get it. You know, for most of my career, essentially all the way up until the time I got fired from the Carrier Academy, I wasn't particularly interested. I just wanted to clock in, put the mail in a box, clock out, and never think about it again. And so I get it. And I probably voted in most of those branch elections without having any information. You know, I probably did just like other people who I'm now cranky with, where I just voted for the incumbent because, oh, I know that name. Or I'd ask somebody else at my station, hey, who should I vote for? And just go along with it. But yeah, the fact is people are disinterested. And I think we have some lessons to take away from this. Like I was talking to Brian Gutierrez out of New York. And he's been on the show a couple of times, and they have the same difficulty there. You know, they're right. going against a very entrenched incumbent force. And the amount of energy that it takes to overcome the incumbent advantage, you know, you're talking about spending a whole year going to stations week in, week out, talking to people, going to places before work, going to places after work, setting up events, trying to raise money, all this stuff. That, frankly, I don't have the time and energy to do that. And so it makes it almost impossible. Like
we're working at the same time.
Yeah, because we're working, right? And I have obligations outside of the post office. And I don't want the post office to be my whole identity.
Right.
I look at what people like Mike Cariff, Corey Walton, James Henry, you know, what they're doing to get these national positions where they're traveling constantly and going to all these meetings and going to see people and traveling on their own dime. And it's a hell of an investment. And I'll be honest, I may not have what it takes to put in that kind of investment to get this officer position because there's just only so much of me to go around, you know, and I'd still like to go hiking on my days off. And then Mike, you spent $2,500 of your own money and that money's never coming back.
No, it's not.
So, you know, consider these things when you're running for office. And if you are a branch officer, I mean, consider that this is what you have in your own pocket. These are the advantages that you have if you're already a branch officer. There's a reason that we have like a 95% incumbent reelection rate. And that trend continues. Yeah.
Well, I was talking to someone, and this is where I talked about how the retirees – that we have an issue with the retirees.
Right.
Now, again, I'm not saying I hate the retirees. It's the retirees, they only see one face.
Right.
Okay. Which is the incumbent.
We don't have access to them.
Yeah. So don't have retiree dinner.
Right.
We're not invited to that.
Can't do that. Yeah.
They'll have some retiree event. I don't have access to that.
Right.
And then retirees will show up to get their lapel pins for the years of service or whatever.
Yeah.
And you got the president handing that out. So it makes it look like it's their.
Yeah, that's their buddy.
That's the big. Yeah.
Right.
And so we don't get any of that.
When I was talking to Brian Gutierrez about the difficulty of trying to overcome all this stuff, you know, we're talking about all the time investment, the monetary investment. And I'm like, dude, and that only gives you access to the working carriers. Mm-hmm. What about the retirees? And he's like, oh, dude, forget it. Yeah. The retirees, that's a lost cause.
And then not only
cause.
That, the flyers that was sent by the other team, sent our goodest, oldest boy, sent a letter and lied completely about everything.
Yeah, we read that one on the air.
And they sent it to all the retirees. And that's all retirees saw. I mean, they did see our flyer.
Right.
And they did see their flyer.
And presumably they saw what was in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And but, yeah, it's so very difficult to overcome.
I guess my mistake was that we needed a letter in there why we're having a re-election.
Well, that was what was in the ad in the newsletter.
Yeah, but I guess that was not good enough.
No, and that's, you know, that's the difficulty. How do you reach people? So there are things.
So when we were sending letters out.
Yeah.
I could have had the labels printed for active carriers or retirees.
Yeah, we could have sent just to retirees.
So just the retirees, we could have just sent a letter. Just our goodest oldest boy.
Let's talk about this for a second.
So for strategy next time.
Right.
You know, do something like that too.
Other people who, because I know like John Murphy's going to be running for office. Mm-hmm. And dude, that guy knows way more about union elections than we do.
Right.
But this is our experience. And Badmouth is going to run. And we know other people who
this
are Joshua
help out
Shrum
those people
running.
That's listening.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, we sent that stuff out first class. Mm-hmm. And there's good reason to do that. The timing worked out well, and we want to make sure people open it. Mm-hmm. But if you can send it out standard mail for like a third of the price mm-hmm. of first class, might be worth it to send out three mailings
right.
instead of one, where you can really get your message out.
Right. Now, here's the thing, too. You know, we had one of the individuals that's running wanted mm-hmm. to send his own postcard.
Right, right. Just send out a postcard.
He didn't get that opportunity from the election committee. And so he was not happy about that. But I'm like, well, then you need to contact them, which he didn't do.
Right. So, yeah, there were a lot of communication issues with the election committee.
Yeah.
There were a number of issues. And like we said, you know, we're still contemplating what we're going to do next. Mm-hmm. I believe that there are enough improprieties in this election mm-hmm. to warrant another election, mm-hmm. but I don't know if it's in our interest
to
do another election. We've already lost twice.
Yeah, because we're thinking of voter fatigue.
Right.
And then there'll be people thinking that we might be sore losers.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But then there's people who said we got to do the right thing.
Well, that's the issue, right? Is how do you just let all this stuff go? All these violations.
The thing is, if we let it go, then we're just giving up, right?
Right, and we're empowering,
them to keep doing it over and over.
Yeah, like not communicating. Like, mm-hmm. so for example, this is just one of the things that came up, is we're allowed to have observers at every step of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, they didn't tell us when these things were happening.
Right.
And so when they made the ballots, mm-hmm. we're supposed to be able to check the ballots before they go out.
So, we got that national oversight people that came to
do that. To oversee the election,
committee. But they acted like they were the only rule and nobody else's rule.
Right.
And so they were skipping steps and not doing what's in the bylaws and our constitution. Okay, so we're like, wait a second, are you still supposed to follow all the rules?
Right.
How is it that you think you can still do whatever you want?
Yeah, so when they got the ballots printed out, uh-huh. right, we were never even given the opportunity to check them. It's one thing if they said, hey, do you want to check them? And we said no.
Right.
We never even knew that had happened. We didn't know when it was going out.
Well, at least to get it verified to make sure that all the names are on there.
Yeah, because we probably would have noticed that name was not on there.
Right.
And then when it was
they didn't even give us that chance either.
Right. And then when it was time to count the ballots, mm-hmm. like we knew they were going to pick up the ballots at 9 in the morning. And so mm-hmm. Michael sends him an email. Well, hey, what time are you going to count the ballots? Because I'd like to send an observer.
Right.
And they didn't respond.
Oh, they did.
Well, yeah, when?
After the count.
Right.
After it was already over. Halfway through the general meeting.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. She sent it at 7:30 at night. Our meeting started at 7.
Right. And so not only, was that email ignored, but that email shouldn't have even been necessary.
Right.
Because we should be informed that, hey, this is what's happening. If you want to send an observer, because it says in the election rules mm-hmm. that we must be notified. It uses the word must
mm-hmm.
of the time and place of all these different events.
Yeah. And I was talking to her and said, hey, did any observers show up? And she goes, no. Well, because you didn't let anybody know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I was trying to be nice and, didn't want to say, basically scream at her saying, you didn't do your job. No, I didn't do any of that.
Right.
But I'm saying, nobody showed up. And she's like, no. And I'm like, oh, that's disappointing. And then I walked away.
Right.
Why did I think I'm disappointed? Well, because
we weren't even given the opportunity.
We weren't notified. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And so, the question is, do you want to become David Noble?
Right.
Who keeps, let me give the caveat. David mm-hmm. Noble is correct.
Mm-hmm.
He's right about the stuff he's complaining about.
Right.
But at this point, it's like, what cost? And what's the point?
So I'm going to give you when I first started working in the post office. When I finally was hearing about David Noble, all I heard from the establishment is this guy is just a complainer. Don't listen to him.
Right. He's just
That's all I heard.
Yeah.
And so at that time, I'm like, hey, these guys are running the post office or NALC, so they must be right, and that guy must be wrong.
Right.
Now, as the time goes on, and we're finding out that he was right the whole time.
He was right the whole time. Yeah, exactly.
So
that doesn't mean that he would win the election.
Right.
But he is right.
Yeah, he was right about
what the improprieties
I don't know. From what I get together, 100% of the one that he was saying about has been right.
Yeah.
Which means there's a problem with our NALC.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and Michael and I, part of doing what we do is being what a therapist would call a right fighter,
mm-hmm.
where if you think you're right, you're not just going to let it go.
Right.
You keep fighting and you keep pressing on it.
Right.
And so, again, this is where we have this internal debate of
what our next steps are. But I do know we still got to go to all the general meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are going to make sure that we can go to the...
the convention.
L.A. convention.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay?
Because I believe that we all need to be there for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's only to be a paid delegate.
Right.
But that'd be nice to be a paid delegate instead of having to go on my own dime. It's cheap to get to L.A., but still.
Yeah. Not like last time, but at least this time, even if you go there on your own, at least put your name in it.
Yeah, to be a delegate.
To be a delegate.
Right, exactly.
Because you can still be a delegate, just not a paid delegate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but you'll still have the right to vote and all that stuff. Yeah, you won't have to go as a guest.
Right.
Right. And our branch, we've corrected that we can send about 100.
Yeah.
Paid.
Like 96 delegates. Or something like that.
Something like that. Delegates. Yep. Exactly. And so, yeah, we want to try to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is, so there's a couple of things here. I had this anxiety leading up to, like, the whole day I was handling it pretty well. And then as it got after work and now it's getting close to time, I started getting anxious and feeling like I wanted to throw up. And, oh, my God, I did not want to go down to that union hall. Yeah. And then when we got down there, like, dude, it was empty.
Yeah.
It was shockingly poorly attended. But it wasn't
shocking to me because nomination night was the same way.
Yeah.
There was nobody there.
Yeah. Okay. There were maybe 70 people there on nomination night and about 60 people last night.
I believe the reason there's nobody because our branch purposely tried to keep things hidden.
They certainly didn't do anything to spread the word.
No,
that's for sure. They did the bare minimum.
Yeah. I mean, the bare minimum is that, yeah, they did put it on the postal record.
Right.
Which is in the back of the postal records, of which I know most people gets the postal record and throws it on the side. And they don't actually read the whole thing.
Right.
And so they didn't get that election notice. The election notice saying that, hey, there's going to be another election, that was posted in some strange place at my station that, you know,
right.
I didn't know that was there until like way later. And then, you know, who knows how many stations didn't even get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay? Exactly.
And I'm sure my station got it just because they know that I'll complain if I didn't get that science. I bet the same thing with your station.
Right. I hear you.
So I have no idea what it was at the other station.
Right. So there was about 3% of our branch was present at the meeting last night.
Mm-hmm.
And or the night before, whatever it was, last night.
We had about 50. Remember, you counted there was about 52, like 50, 55 people.
Yeah, and then a few more people showed up. Yeah, so I'll call it 60 people. So it's about 3%.
So, yeah.
So anyway.
Well, that would be about 6%.
No, we have 2,000 members, right. Not 1,000. So 60 would be 3%. Yeah, because it's half, because it's 2,000, not 1,000.
Right.
So it'd be about 3%.
I think you got the number backwards.
No.
But either way.
Either way, yeah.
Either way, we had about 60 people.
Right, yeah. Okay? It's not very many.
And that's not a lot, especially in an election. We used to have over 150, 200 people show up for nominations and elections.
Right.
But this election, we had the least amount of people show up.
So we get there and settle in, and things are going okay. And, you know, eventually, like, after we got the results and I found out that we lost, I felt a lot better because, so I don't deal with anxiety normally. And I was talking to my wife about it. My wife does. And I said, you know, all this anticipation going into it, I felt awful. And, you know, all this stress and the nausea. But then afterward, like, even though the bad thing happened, I still felt okay. And she's like, yeah, that's what anxiety is. You're anxious about what's going to happen.
And it ended.
And then it ended. Yeah.
Right. So
and then it's over. Right. Yeah. And it's nonsense because, like, even though the bad thing happened, like, nothing really bad happened to us. You know, we're still here. We're going to plug along.
Yep.
And that's anxiety.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, is because, you know, we had 23% of the people voted and about 20% of the ballots that did not count. Okay. So that's quite a bit of votes. That's, you know, that's almost half the votes that was vote or didn't get counted. So there's the other half the people that were missing. You know, one thing that I don't know about is what percentage of that was retirees and what percentage of that was active carriers.
Right. We don't have demographic information for the people who voted.
Right.
You know, we haven't looked at that. I don't know if we can look at that.
No, you're allowed to audit the ballot.
Yeah. We just don't know how people voted, but we could see like how many people at each station voted.
Yeah, this is a day after, so we haven't done anything yet, but we're going to have to go audit the ballot.
Yeah. So more takeaways. Oh yeah. So getting back to the anxiety, you know, so afterward I felt a lot better, even though, you know, the results didn't go our way. And then it's kind of like, you settle back in and, okay, we go forward kind of the way we have been. That we're trying to make sure that the branch abides by its bylaws and that our officers are doing the right things, that they're taking care of carriers, and then we have our own issues that we work on. But it does, you know, when we write our appeal, whatever we decide to do with the appeal of this election, we'll talk to you guys about that. And then hopefully more education. You know, right. Like after this episode, I want to record another episode where I want to read a route inspection guide that mm-hmm. somebody sent me that I like.
Right.
And then, you know, try to get back to more regular content. And then when the JCAM finally comes out, I'm going to redo another season, do the whole JCAM.
Go ahead. We got to do the route count more because I know my route count is going to happen at my station in February.
Okay? Ah, there you go. Mine's still not scheduled.
And they're changing my station to either SNDC or PNDC. And so we don't know exactly what's going to happen to it, but they said the timeline is they're going to be finished with that in October of next year.
Oh, boy. Okay?
And so I already know they're going to bring in new cases that has the six shelved case.
Okay.
And it's only one case.
No, you're going with the single case, no L-shape?
No side cases.
Oh, my God.
Okay? I know we're getting that. I know that they're enlarging the break room. Why would they enlarge the break room?
To accommodate more carriers.
More employees.
More employees, yeah, okay? Yeah.
So it could be carriers, it could be clerks. You don't know. Okay, so I was told by the station manager that there is no plans to bring another station or multiple stations to my station, but they are bringing more sorting machines.
Uh-huh.
So they will be bringing more sorting machines to have, we're going to sort parcels for multiple stations.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's like almost
PNC. And then how does it get from your station to theirs?
Like the trucks will be there. Just take them out to those stations.
That's interesting.
Okay. And the problem with that is that because they're waiting for the mail to go, most likely the whole station will get the parcels last.
Dude, that's interesting.
And so if we get last,
right?
How many things can go wrong?
Start time goes later, and you're waiting for parcels.
And I know some stations nationwide, their starting time has gone to 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine if my station started at 11 in the morning and 8 hours at 7 o'clock at night?
Right. And in the dead of summer where you're out there. 7:30
at night?
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then not having a union hall that fights like hell and pushes back against it.
I'm told that he endorsed this thing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's.
I'm told by some secret sources that he endorsed it.
Yeah, so, well, you saw the picture of him standing there smiling with the managers about it.
He was in the Western
area update
from management,
right.
Post office,
that
took a picture of him smiling, and he's sitting in the middle of the picture.
All right, so let's get back
for SNDC.
Yeah, to more takeaways here, because if you're going to win as a challenger, you have to activate the people who are motivated, the people who want that change, and you have to get people to vote, which obviously we did not accomplish. Yeah.
So here's the thing, okay? I know.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's all right.
So here's the thing is that there's two more elections coming.
Oh, the national election.
National election next year. And then our election again in 2 years.
Right. Our regular branch election a year after that. Yep.
Yeah.
Back on schedule.
Yeah. So right now, every year, we're going to be dealing with some kind of election.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I would like to be campaigning for the CLC coming up instead of having to worry about another. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode more and how we're going
to
back.
So now,
because we really need Brian Renfrew to go.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's the thing. Brian Renfrew really needs to go.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're going to switch from local.
Right, to worrying about the national election.
And we're going to do our appeals or whatever things that we're going to still do.
Right.
But we're going to switch from local to now national because I believe that's the next important thing.
Right. Hey, by the way, if you are a CLC candidate, reach out to me. I'm happy to have you on Class as a Male. It's a very friendly interview environment. Feel free to talk to other CLC people who've come on to Class as a Male. There's no gotcha questions. I really want you to get your message out. By all means, reach out to me, classesmail@gmail.com. I'd love to have you on. I just heard on Next Generation Carriers, Bill Kriebel, and I was impressed with him. I liked the stuff that he had to say on there. So he's a candidate for business agent. So I may reach out to try to get him on. But anyway, I want to talk about the lessons, you know, and what people can take away from this. So getting the voters activated, one of the things that Brian Gutierrez told me about is that at his own station, he will have people bring in their ballot before they mail it out as kind of an accountability thing, but also it allows him to look, you know, he doesn't see like who they voted for. They just bring the envelope in and it allows him to make sure that like the outside of the envelope is correct, because we also had a number of votes that were discarded because they weren't signed on the outside of the envelope or they didn't have the proper information. Yeah, Michael's pulling up that number right now. How many of those were? Okay, so anyway, so they bring them in and Brian, you know, make sure that they're all correct, but then also he'll, you know who voted and who did it. And that really drives up the voting percentage, the turnout at that station. Right. And so what you really need is people doing stuff like that at various stations, not just at your own. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. So, you know, we had 197 return to sender.
Right.
Because there was, it was
returned. Something wrong with the address.
There were 19 ballots with no signatures.
Okay.
Okay.
I would have thought it would be more than that, actually. And, so that's not terrible.
And then there were 42 ballots that had no names, no address, no
signature. Nothing on the outside at all.
Okay.
Okay.
The five were unverified, as in they didn't know who they were.
Oh, yeah. Right. They said that they had this filled out ballot. They had all the information on the envelope, but they couldn't verify that that person was actually like a member of the NALC.
Right.
Yeah. So the people, between the people who put no information on the outside at all.
And then we had one that actually sent it correctly, except on the ballot had nothing on it.
They sent in a blank ballot?
Blank ballot.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so between the people who forgot to sign the outside and the people who put nothing on the outside at all, that was what, like 60 votes?
60,
return to sender is 197.
No. The ones who actually did vote, but their vote didn't get counted.
Right.
Is
that
how
was,
many?
That
we'll just say 48, 60-something.
48
plus 19. So 67.
Yeah,
67. Yeah. That, you know, it's tough to, you're trying to get people to vote.
And 67 votes
didn't even get counted. Yeah, exactly. Right. So again, you know, I think the key, if you're going to be serious about this, and, you know, presumably either if we rerun this one or if we have an election in 2 years, our strategy is going to look a little bit different, that we're going to try to be more efficient and maybe make more use of the equivalent like a precinct captain, where we need people we can trust at each station who they're going to help to gin up these votes, because that's the only way it's going to happen.
Yeah, 67 votes and 452 votes got counted.
Right.
That's a lot.
It's a big percentage.
That's like 15%.
And then 200 almost, you know, were undeliverable.
Right.
And yeah, dude,
that's a lot.
Okay. It is. It is.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of votes that didn't get counted. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right. We can't make any prediction about how those votes would have gone, but it's just more that gets thrown into question. All right. Well, so I think you got anything else?
Go ahead. Well, 452 plus 67, we're looking at 510, 520, somewhere around there. That is
all right. So 25%. That
is
of the
literally.
Branch.
Yeah, that is tried literally. 26%
or so
of people that actually voted.
Yeah, the actual turnout was about 23%. Yeah. So, and then if you include the people whose votes got rejected, then it brings it up to about 26%.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a very low number.
It is a very low number.
In fact, the percentage that national one for the tentative agreement.
Yeah.
I think that was higher than ours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely was. So, yeah, and so that's, you know,
that's disappointing.
Right. Okay. And it's because we have a branch where they're not particularly interested in the democratic process.
Right.
In fact, I mean, listeners, you've heard all the ways that they have tried to stymie the democratic process.
Right.
So anyway, that's the result.
Yeah, so we lost, but hey, but you got to look at it this way.
Yeah.
I lost the votes by 94 votes.
Yeah.
And in reality, that's really pretty
closer than 60-40.
Yeah, especially when there's 452 votes.
Yeah.
And 67 votes didn't count. And what if all 67 was for Mike?
Then it would have been even closer.
It would have been a lot closer,
but it
would
still wouldn't have gone the other way.
I know, but it would have been a lot closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the people with the undeliverable, and, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. And then if we were to get 40% of the people voting.
Well, if my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
And, but those are the goals, right?
Right. Yeah,
that's what we got to look at. How are we going to push that up?
Yep. All right. So we will keep you guys in the loop. And Michael will continue to come over for educational podcasts. We're going to record one right after this. And we'll keep you posted on how things go going forward.
Yep, definitely.
All right, so thanks for listening, guys. Oh, and one last thing. I got well wishes from around the country. Yeah. So many people.
Yeah, thanks for all of that.
Yeah, emails, text messages, phone calls. And guys, that means the world to me. It was so cool to have you guys on board. Next election, GoFundMe for sure.
maybe we need to do that. Cause I don't know if I can get $25 to spend that much money.
Yeah,
I know,
right? The next back paycheck. Yeah.
Because I don't think we're going to have another back pay.
No, probably not before the next election.
Right.
So anyway, guys. All right. Thank you very much for listening. And we will catch you all next time.